Remember when drinking at Disney was a tall order? Well, folks, it's beer o'clock and Mickey thinks you're thirsty. So to help us celebrate Disney brews, we're joined by Rick Buchanan, a.k.a. the WDW Beer Guy, to celebrate magical Disney beers. We're also talking Space 220 and more Halloween Horror Nights. Well, the first round's on LeFou, and it's all happening right here on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks.
What? What do you want me to do here?
You have a line here.
Sorry. Miriam, do you know my line here?
Do you need a
podcast?
Oh, that was it.
That was the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic, the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Yo. Bring
it
back now.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond. Cheers, dears nerds. Today, I'm joined by my co-host, Disney founder, theme park fashionista, and Mickey Stein collector from the Churro Fund. It's Miriam Kenley. Hey, Miriam, what's up?
Oh, not much. So is the Stein like Mickey shaped, or is there just a Mickey on it? Either way, I'm in.
I feel like it's a variety. One. Yeah, one's like it's got ears on it.
It's like ear shaped or Mickey balloon shaped.
All of the above.
That would hold a lot of beer, I think.
It would, actually. There's a goofy one with the, you know, the long ears that come down the side and they curl into a like a handle and you can grab it, gulp. And it's
very cool.
And every time you gulp, it goes gorsh. We're getting and let's also welcome comedian, Disnerd, and beer pong champ. It's Mark Andrada. Hey, Mark.
Oh, hello.
You ever actually play some beer pong?
I'm sure I played beer pong at some point in my life. I just don't remember it.
Really? It was so big when I was going to college.
Yeah, no.
I didn't go to college for very long.
Yeah, and I'm using college as a loose term for my 20s.
I honestly don't remember most of my 20s. So, family podcast. Let's talk about that.
Well, friends, we got a super fun day. We have a WDW beer guy here. He's a beer expert at the Disney parks. We also got tons of news. And there was some news right off the hop that I just wanted to talk about, Miriam. I don't know if it's actually news from your segment, but this is here. Ready? News with Bondo. Here it goes. Mm-hmm. Mighty Ducks got a second season. Beep, 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 in your face.
That is garbage.
Wow.
It's so bad. It's not that bad.
We should watch it together.
Let me guess. Like this time.
Okay. Yeah. What happens?
They're going to be invited to a weird children's sports Olympics.
Okay.
And they're
I like where this is
gonna compete against Iceland.
Oh no, not again. Iceland's upset.
I guarantee you it's just gonna be a retelling of the second movie. And then the third season they're gonna recast the children and it will be them in high school trying to keep their scholarships.
Okay. All right.
What's happening?
I don't know if I like any of those sequels. I don't know if I want.
Well, season one was legit a worse version of the first movie. So
I feel like they set up that now they got to win for real, right? Because they actually lost the real championship, but then won the like figurative one. You know what I mean? Like,
here's what I'll say: I want more Gordon Bombay and less Gilmore Girls lady.
Oh, okay. Well,
she's the worst.
I want more of the kids. I like the kids. I want more of that Nick kid, the little kid that, I haven't played
hockey. He's the star.
He's the cutest.
The podcast body, sure.
Yeah. I love that kid. I'd cast him in anything. Well, yeah, I'm new to hockey. I use a stick? Cool. I like that kid.
That's pretty great.
All right. Well, hey, why don't we get into the show? But we'll start it off by selling some T-shirts.
T-Public presents, it's your shout-out.
T-Public's where you can find all kinds of Disney and Universal T-shirts. You just go to our website, WeLikeThemeParks.com. It's a beautiful website. And you just click on the T-shirt button, and it's going to take you to the T-Public. And from there, you can just browse around. You can get some of our shirts, someone else's shirts, whatever. You can get some cool stuff for our parks, and it's a way to support us. Everybody wins. Today, I want to say hello to a friend. And this is an important hello to at Pecan the Bengal. Now, Pecan the Bengal, I think, is actually a cat. It's a lot of cat pictures. This is a Disney fan cat. So you got to check out Pecan. And this is what Pecan writes on his Instagram. It says, he's more beautiful than Thor and loves playing fetch with humans. He's from Toronto, Canada. And the big reason why I wanted to talk about Pecan today is because Pecan sent me something and reminded me something that I missed, but I had to talk about it on the show. Did you know recently it was the 40th anniversary of Condor Man? Mind blown. Mind blown.
40th?
40th anniversary.
Or 400th.
Miriam, 40th. And we didn't celebrate. We didn't do anything. We didn't do a Condor Man Day. We didn't like do Condor trivia or like our favorite parts of Condor Man or a review. Nothing. We did nothing.
Well, you're the super fan here. So...
yeah, this is on you.
I don't know that Mark and I need to take the fall for this one.
Okay, so does this mean there's an opening here? Like you guys would be open to like a Condor Man themed episode where we do Condor Man stuff? And you guys actually have to watch Condor Man? It's on YouTube. Yeah.
For you, if that would make you happy, Chris, I would watch Condor Man.
Well, I feel like it'll make me happy. I feel like it will make both of you unhappy, but it's the listeners I'm concerned about. Are they like, we did the Tron already. Condor Man now? Fine. But like a segment, no more, you know? It's funny. I went on the Quarantine Book Club podcast. I was talking about your guys' Tron reviews. And then I was like, my rebuttal was only, I was only allowed 60 seconds. So, you know.
You got a full episode and 60 seconds. True.
Okay. No. Well, anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there. So a big shout out to at Pecan the Bengal. Pleasure to meet you, Pecan. And thanks for hitting me up and letting me know. And thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Do you guys have any shout outs that you have this week?
I do. And mine is also tied to a grievance.
Okay.
I was gone from the show last week, and as I was listening, I heard Chris Bond say, quote unquote, let's dust off Brendan Fraser and put him in this thing.
Well, that was a compliment.
And let me tell you, the screaming I was doing at the radio, this man deserves our respect. He is the king of the 90s. Uh-huh. How dare you say he's dusty? So
I just said dust them off.
Because of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about one of my favorite shops on Instagram. They're called Super Yaki Shop. They have lots of Brendan Fraser merch. They have a brand new magnet that says, did you hear? Brendan Fraser's back. So how dare you? Nobody had to dust him off because he's a legend. He's wonderful. And he's about to be back in all of our... He never left my heart, but he's about to be back in yours.
Okay.
Super Yaki Shop. Did you hear? Brendan Fraser is back. That's all.
Listen, all I'm saying is that if you listen to the interview, as if I recall, I was saying we need more Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser would have been better than The Rock in the Jungle Cruise. I think that's the ultimate compliment. So
now
I said,
when you pair it with let's dust that guy off.
I don't know
off,
that like, guy is.
Let's dust off this sack of trash.
It's been a
let's
bit.
Dust him off, oil up his limbs, and throw him in front of the Jungle Cruise. That's what Chris said.
But hold on.
Absolute disrespect
do you want,
of the king.
Do you want hunky old school Brendan Fraser, or do you want like been around the block a little bit, kind of weather
I want any Brendan Fraser of all time ever.
I'm saying now is the time.
Dad bods are in, okay? Yeah. Dad bods
He's always
in.
Been the time. We've been robbed of 20 years of his films. How dare you say dust him off?
Yeah, I say place him delicately in the Jungle Cruise.
On his throne.
On his boat. And, you know, hey, if he set sail on a great adventure with Emily Blunt, I would be much happier than The Rock. And then when that's a big hit, then you do Encino Man 2 and you see what came of the cave.
Have you seen that? They're asking Disney Plus to make that. Pauly Shore,
There's another
Sean
guy.
Astin and Brendan Fraser there's all want to do a second one for Disney Plus.
They all need to be dusted off and to get into some...
Again, the disrespect.
What, for Pauly Shore? You're defending Pauly Shore? Come on.
This guy didn't
I mean,
lesson.
Encino Man. On, great
buddy.
Movie. Whatever.
The juice. Wiz in the juice. You care about that guy?
Oh, my God. Yeah, why not? Right. He's one of my favorite characters in the Goofy movie. You know, Leaning Tower of Cheesa. He you know, Pauly Shore, he plays his role. I'm fine with Pauly Shore.
He does he does have a hook into Disney lore. It's true. All I can think of is what was the other thing? Okay, Weezing the Juice was like soda. It was like drinking.
It was like slushy. He was like under the Slurpee machine. Yeah, like
Weezing, but it grindage. That was it, getting the grindage and the Weezing.
Yeah, that was juice. I think eating something.
Eating something and drinking. Weezing juice was drinking and gnawing on grindage or something was eating food. Mm-hmm.
And that's like a sandwich.
That's all I remember from Pauly Shore. That's it.
And then
that's
Leaning it. Tower of Cheesa.
Oh, wait. And didn't he say hey, buddy, to hey, buddy or something like that? Was that him?
Sure.
Yeah. Dust him
whatever.
Off.
Whatever. You're making Encino Man cheap and it's great. Mm. And yeah. Disney Plus. Give us an Encino Man too.
I'll watch it. I'm in. I you know, I won't deny it. I'll be there. You heard it right here on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. Is this actually happening or are you making this up?
I mean, they've all three said that they want to do that, and it's just up to Disney Plus to do it.
They're too busy making Mighty Ducks Part Deuce, baby. You know, you never know.
Never. Hulu, Netflix, literally any of those platforms. Get it going. Let's do this.
Well, hey, we're already talking news, so why don't we get right into it?
Talking about news.
Do you guys want to be scared first or go to space first?
Ooh, those both sound scary. Scary, scary for scary's sake or space scary for scary's sake?
I'm more scared of space, I think. I'm with you, Mark.
Okay, so which one first?
I vote space. I can't hear you scream. Okay, yeah, go
ahead. Disney is launching their Space 220 restaurant at Epcot next month.
Finally.
Yes.
Yeah, that thing's been in, I don't want to say production, but kind production. Of for a very long time, you could say seems production. Like.
Yeah, sure.
Totally. Yeah, so they gave us a little bit of a preview this week on the Disney Parks blog Instagram. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty cool. It seems like you take an elevator up to space and it gives you like screen views around. So how tall do we think this thing actually is? Like,
is it even actually?
Because it's all screens making you feel like you're in space.
It's not a rocket to space. You don't take an elevator rocket to space.
I think so.
I don't know.
Must be
actually supposed to be.
It says the immersive experience begins as visitors head to Space 220 Departure Lounge in Future World. From there, guests will board one of two space elevators that transport them 220 miles above Earth to the Centauri Space Station, looking down on Epcot through a viewport.
It says elevator in it. Sounds like an elevator. Hey, Mark, remember when we went together, when we went to Japan, is it the 20,000, I'm trying to think of his other Journey to the Center of the Earth or 20,000 League. You're in some elevator and it's like,
bang, Journey bang, to bang, the Center bang, of the Earth.
Bang, bang, bang. Like you go in an elevator. I bet you it's the same kind of thing where you get into a room and we've seen pictures of the room. I think there's like a hole in the middle and on the top, like on the ceiling. So I think you can see on the bottom, you like leaving Earth. And up top above, you can see like getting to the space station. Very Mission to Mars. If you remember Mission to Mars, they had the same thing. One up top, I believe, one up top and one below. This is old school.
Right. So I guess like my question this whole time has been, what does this thing look like from the outside? Like, is it in a just show building in the back of Epcot Future World? Or are you going to be able to see it from the outside and it's like a space needle looking thing?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like maybe it's underground. It's possible that it's underground and your elevator actually goes down instead of up.
Interesting.
I thought it would be like, I'm trying to remember if it was the Empire State Building that has that. Have you been in that elevator going to the top of the Empire State Building? No. They do a thing there. I think it was Empire State Building. It might have been a different building in New York. It was definitely in New York, though. And you take this elevator and there's exactly that. There's this kind of show element to the elevator that makes you feel like you're going higher or faster than you actually are. And there's more video to it than the one that you're talking about, Chris, in Tokyo for Journey to the Center of the Earth. Mm-hmm. There's more like picture to it.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. It's saying like you'll be able to see the whole view of Disney World as you go up, and then you'll actually see Walt Disney World as you're going up in the elevator. There's stuff hovering in space, so you'll see some of those elements fly in and out as you dine. Once docked, visitors will travel through the Centauri Space Station-themed dining area, which offers a panoramic view of Earth.
Cool.
And then it says the menu will feature stellar dishes and gourmet recipes. So I don't know if that means space-themed, but I know they have like the chef is Zach Ridley.
Wasn't my buddy Zach got the job?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah, congrats, Mark.
And our buddy Zach is doing a 2-course prefix menu for lunch and 3 courses for dinner.
Nice. Sounds expensive.
And atmospheric cocktails to go with. I don't know what that means, but should get the beer guy, the WDW beer guy, to go and tell us what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. Rick would love that. Hey, would you be like surprised and kind of also happy if you went to this thing and it was all like, you know, the dried food that they eat, but it was like gourmet, you know what I mean? You know, the weird things they eat,
like astronaut food,
but it was like, like the best mass astronaut food ever. Like,
how can that be the best? It's just freeze dried.
Well, I'm just saying, you're expecting to go there and have like, oh, I could still order spaghetti and meatballs, but instead you order spaghetti and meatballs. It comes in like a freeze dried bag and it's like this.
I'd
big.
Be mad.
I think it would be the best.
I'd be mad. You better tell me that's what I'm getting before I go in. You know what I mean? Because if I'm going in there hungry, expecting a nice warm spaghetti, and you pick the wrong food, because I love spaghetti. No, I'd be mad.
Okay,
I would be mad if that's what happened to me.
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, especially when the bill comes. And it does not reflect freeze-dried food.
That freeze-dried food, every time I've gotten that at like a tourist location, it's always been expensive. I get the freeze-dried ice cream. It's so good. But man, it's like $12 for this little tiny thing of Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah. Doesn't hold its value.
Well, I'm interested to see like food-wise how they can make it thematic to like traveling in space. Obviously, environmentally wise, like, yeah, you're going to be looking out into space. It's going to be awesome, you know? Mm-hmm. Next level stuff, if they had the whole room was like the gravity just went away and everyone was floating in front of their food, that'd be cool.
Oh, and you got to eat your spaghetti out of the air?
Yeah.
What a mess.
Delish. Worth the price of that prefix, baby.
That's what atmospheric cocktails mean. They're just in the atmosphere.
They're in the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's it. To circle back to the first point you made, Miriam, I'm interested to see if what they do aesthetically, if there's going to be some kind of thing outside that looks like an elevator. I don't think. I mean, it would be there now, wouldn't it? If it's opening any minute.
Yeah, it's in Future World, it says. So I'm guessing just a show building, because I don't think when I was there in April, I didn't see anything. But they also aren't really letting people go into all that much of Future World. And maybe it's because of this restaurant construction.
Yeah, we'll see.
There was like all kinds of boarded off areas in there, to the point where it was like we were supposed to go all the way back to the World Showcase to then get to Future World instead of just the cut that you would take through Spaceship Earth to get there. Huh. So maybe there is something that they've built back there and we just haven't seen it.
I would wager not, but yeah, if there is, that'd be awesome. That'd be cool. The more storytelling, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get scared. Woo. We're talking about Halloween Horror Nights, and they have released, I think, all of the houses now, but we have skipped a few of the original houses not tied to IP that will be in Orlando. So I wanted to just talk about some of those. And those are going to be, there is one that's based on a town called Cary, and it's spelled C-A-R-E-Y. So the billboard for it has a red spray painted S in front of it. So Welcome to Scary is the name of it. Mm-hmm. In Cary, bad things just happen. No one escapes from this small town beset by an endless parade of bloodthirsty creatures and maniacs. So just a chill time in this little small town, it sounds like.
Just hanging, yeah. Yeah.
And then there's another one called Case Files Unearthed, and it's the legendary truth. And it says, follow the trail of a private eye as an investigation into the supernatural leads you into a dark world of ghouls and terrifying creatures.
That's kind of cool. I hope it's like kind of film noirish, and then it gets.
That's what it looks. The poster is in black and white, so cool. It might be kind of. I'm wanting to say Dick Tracy, but that's so not what the vibe of this is. You know, something like that. This one sounds hilarious. I feel like this is the one I would want to go to. It's called the Wicked Growth Realm of the Pumpkin. There's no breaking free from the vines of the Pumpkin Lord here to entrap you in his ever-growing evil.
Oh my gosh, that sounds awesome.
And there's a bunch of pumpkins on this poster with like runes cut into them and some skulls on the ground. Whoa. And a shadowy figure in the background. So.
Is this the pumpkin that Linus was waiting for in Charlie Brown?
Yeah, this
the great pumpkin. Yeah.
He finally arrives and just, I can't say that.
A family show.
I can't say that. It's a family show. So sorry. Yeah. So sorry, children. I don't mean to give you nightmares.
No. Yes. No, please.
And then I think Mark will enjoy it. Mark and Disney Park Mark might be interested in this one. This one's called The Puppet Theater Captive Audience. Oh. And it says a puppeteer and a ballet troupe trapped in a deserted theater for years are about to turn you into a human puppet. That's your cue to scream.
Whoa.
So that sounds horrifying to me. I feel like it's going to be really scary. And then this, the last one is one that they had last year, and that is Revenge of the Tooth Fairy, which I think we all thought sounded silly and ridiculous, but was one of the scarier houses from last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So those are the original offerings, not IP related, at Orlando's Halloween Horror Nights.
Okay. Cool. Anything that's like, I'm going to turn you into a something scary. Uh-huh. Scares me. Like that movie Tusk, if you've seen Tusk, that Kevin Smith movie. So he's in this movie called Tusk where this guy like traps him and turns him into a walrus. Yeah. Like,
I don't like that. Yeah, so you're like me, you're most afraid of the puppet theater turning into a puppet.
Yeah.
That sounds very scary.
Yeah. Oh.
Also, the chill time in the town of Scary, I don't think I'm down for.
I think
that one's going to be really frightening.
I think it's going to have a bit of a 50s kind of flair, you know, like the Leave It to Beaver kind of perfect neighborhood.
Yeah, like Stepford Wives.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I like that.
Yeah, I'm most excited to see what this Case Files unearthed and the Wicked Growth Realm of the Pumpkin is all about. Yeah,
Wicked Growth. That's a terrible and fantastic name.
The Pumpkin King, but not Jack Skellington.
Yeah. Very cool. Is this just...
That's just in Orlando. So then let's go. I'm going to flip over to Hollywood here and tell you all the houses there.
Sweet.
Cool. Now that they've all been announced.
Hollywood.
Okay. So they have The Haunting of Hill House. You knew that one. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Universal Monsters. The Bride of Frankenstein Lives.
Yeah.
And The Curse of Pandora's Box. AMC's Walking Dead. I feel like they always have that one. And they just announced that they are doing a Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. Michael Myers is on the loose once again, and you can't stop him. You can't kill him. And this time, you can't escape him.
Nice.
I like Michael Myers.
I think that Orlando's sound a lot stronger than Hollywood's. What do you guys think?
Which one has the icons one? The caption?
That's
captured.
Orlando.
That's also, you know what? Mm-hmm. Orlando does.
You know, I do love like the idea of that Tron tour, though. The tram tour.
Yes, we haven't talked about it. Like,
yeah.
Let's talk about this tour.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get ahead of it.
No, let's do it. So the tram tour we are talking about is called the Terror Tram, the Ultimate Purge. And this is the Terror Tram returns, taking you where purgers are running rampant. Once you get off the tram, it's no rules, no laws, no escape. So I think that means you start on the tram tour and then you get off of it and purge people scare you.
Oh my gosh. You have to get off of it? They probably pull you over.
Then you have to get back on the tram, I wonder.
The Terror Tram is back. Unfortunately for you, some of the most iconic purgers from each of the most terrifying purge films have taken over and are running rampant. It's every man and woman for themselves as masked and costumed marauders are out to ambush everyone outside during purge hours. So climb aboard the Terror Tram at your own risk, because once you get off the tram, it's no rules, no laws, no escape. I am not going anywhere near this thing.
Get on it. Come on.
Sounds fun.
No.
Come on. You got to go. You got to do it. Please. Cover it for
please,
us.
Please.
No. Are you out so of bad. Your mind?
Oh, I'd love it if you were there.
I like a Mickey's Not So Scary Time. Like, not the Purge.
You want a not scary farm. That's where you want to go.
Yeah, no.
Scary. Although Not Scary Farm has had some scary things. Was that last?
They
2 years
totally
ago.
Have scary stuff there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not they've doing
They've changed
any
their tune. They've
things.
Changed their tune.
Yeah, man. They have.
Let me just tell you, like, dating during Halloween time is the absolute worst. I will not do it because it's ultimately, let's go to a haunted house. No, last time I went to a haunted house was like middle school, and I walked in the door and I walked out the emergency exit immediately following that door. Aww. Like, I want no part of it.
But isn't the
things.
Idea that like the dude takes you and you get scared and you jump into his arms and he's like, oh, I got you.
It doesn't work if I punch him in the face as I'm trying to run away in terror.
Yeah.
Ow, this is a bad idea.
So
does this mean you're not going to cover this for us?
No, I'm so sorry. It's not happening.
Okay. Chris, I'll make you a deal.
What?
You front my flight to LA, I'll do it.
There you go. That's a good deal.
Flights are cheap right now. Let me look into it. See how much it costs. Flights are dirt right now. Nobody wants to fly.
That's true.
That's the horror tram right there, flying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So let me look into that. Let me do some click and see what's up. You're going, Mark. You thought you were being funny? Poof. Welcome to LA.
It's tempting.
Yeah.
Hollywood. Tram that will chill your blood. Yeah.
Miriam, is that the news?
That's the news.
All right, friends. Well, hey, that was the news. Why don't we get into some more fun? Because we have a special guest here today. We're going to go from booze to booze. Wait.
Booze to booze.
No, wait, it was the other way around. Boo. Yeah. You know, everyone, you guys get it. All right, friends, you know what time it is? It's segment time.
You're just going to leave that like that, eh?
What? You want me to fix it? No.
Yeah, no, it's great. I think it's great. It's loose.
It's loose. Let's keep it loose.
Yeah. Keep it loose.
Beer guy, here we go.
Segment time.
All right, drinking at Disney parks. I mean, it was kind of like a new thing, and now it's kind of a big thing. Being tipsy in your Mickey ears. I mean, I feel like Epcot kind of pioneered the thing, but now we're taking booze to a whole new level in the Disney parks. But today we're talking specifically about beers, and I feel like they're becoming as common as Dole Whips and churros. But we wanted to know what was brewing at the Disney parks. You see, no? Okay. Anyway.
Oh boy.
So we wanted to bring in a new friend. This is Rick Buchanan, also known as the WDW Beer Guy. This is Rick. Rick, welcome to the We Like Theme Parks podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about beer. So, you know, I mean, it's going to be a fun
beer and Disney. It's two of the best things.
These are a few of my favorite things. Right, Rick? You know that jam.
Absolutely.
It's great. I know you're legit, Rick, because right behind you has got a collection of beer steins. Are these all like Disney beer jams or just beers from around the world? Like, you feel very official.
Around the world, but I do have my Epcot silo red cup here.
Yes.
Your red
world
cup
showcase.
Yeah, you're official.
So yep. Cute.
Gotta have one of those.
And a lightsaber, so we're good.
Is that a boozy lightsaber? Can you fill it up with beer?
No, I built it in the workshop.
Oh, okay.
Galaxy's Edge. Yep.
I thought you could drink out of it.
That's awesome.
I was going to be really impressed. Now I'm just moderately impressed.
Hey, there's an invention.
Right. There's got to be a something Star Wars you can drink out of. Like in the movies, what do they drink out of? Just cups.
Well, they have all at Galaxy's Edge. They have all those like tiki style souvenir cups you can take.
But what is like an X-Wing fighter? Like, does he have like a beer cozy in his X-Wing? Like, I don't know. I feel like there's something to be made.
It's probably a good old flask.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That could be on your mantle, and I would also want to purchase one.
I feel like awesome. Poe Dameron is like drinking straight out of the can. Doesn't care if it's cold or hot, you know?
Yeah.
He's like seems like one of those types of beer drinkers.
Straight out of the helmet. Yeah, just glue.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, Rick, you are the WDW beer guy. You know your beer, and so we wanted to get into it about beer. So let's just start with you have the moniker. You're the beer guy. How did you fall into becoming a Disney beer expert, and what's your relationship with Disney?
As a kid, I grew up on Disney. I was on the West Coast, went to Disneyland all the time, came back to the East Coast, continued to go to Disney. Mm-hmm. I had kids and brought them into the cult too.
Nice.
So they're brainwashed as well.
Here, kid, put these ears on. Let's go. Here we go.
Yep. So, but as they grew up, and I noticed this as they got older, like you mentioned, Disney got into the booze game. I mean, things when they were young, it was hard to find, you know, unless the Epcot around the world, you didn't find a whole lot of stuff down there. But then the festivals popped up and there's, you know, now you can, there's a festival every day and you can get stuff all the time. So my kids grew up and went out on their own. And I still enjoyed Disney and really enjoyed beer. And man, and Disney's got all of it. So I have a great time with my adult friends now. Still the kids once in a while, but we do a lot of food and wine trips, you know, all the festivals, and it's great. You know, you go to the Nomad Lounge and hang out for a while, then you go to the safari, then you go back to the Nomad Lounge for a while. It's great.
So before we get into like beers, like, do you even bother with the rides and stuff, or are you just there for straight up beers?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm lucky that we've done everything so we can spend the day enjoying relaxing with some drinks and also doing attractions we choose to go on. But we're still pretty commando. We still get in a lot of stuff. We do a full day. We do it every day. Okay. So that's awesome.
Here's my top three rides that I could bring a beer on and I would like enjoy a beer on. Jungle Cruise, right? You're on a cruise.
Right.
For crying out.
Comedy. Adventure.
Yeah, well, Mark might disagree with the comedy part, right? Mark
might. It's comedy. Stop giving me a hard time.
But you're cruising, right?
Then Mark really needs a beer if he doesn't enjoy the jokes. He needs a beer.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Agreed.
Everything's funnier when you have a beer.
It's true.
That's right.
Maybe the living with the land with a brew. How about that?
Ooh. I mean, nice.
Right?
I feel like they could do like a brewing section of that, right? Or distillery or something.
That would be part of the land.
Could you imagine if they had a little distillery and if the boat slows down enough that they just extend their arm and hand you a drink while you're passing by? This could be like
they stop the boat and you like fill up at the keg.
Nah, right there. We can't stop the flow, man. You know what I mean? But maybe they roll on a keg. We're onto something, guys. Let's workshop.
Tasting at the end. The ride will get a lot more popular.
Yeah. Or they just give you a cup and you just dip it in the water and they actually just fill the water with beer instead.
This is like becoming the ride on The Simpsons, the Duffland or whatever. Duff Gardens. Don't drink it. It's weird. And then my last one, let's see. Why not Pirates of the Caribbean? Because they're all like drinking yo-ho.
Perfect.
You could have your like Tortuga mug. And be
drink
like,
drink up me hearties, yo ho.
Right. It doesn't even have to be rum. It can be a hearty brew. Me hearty.
Probably need the rum.
But the rule
too,
is you have to finish it before the end of the ride because they tell you to drink it up.
That's right. That's awesome. See, it all works. So those are my top
three.
They
give it to you at the Blue Bayou as you're floating by, and you have to finish it before you disembark.
What if they give you a cup and then, like the ride, they've got a barrel and it's just literally pouring out of the barrel, and you got to like again
try and catch it and drink it,
and then you have to do a clink with people in your row. Yeah, you know. That'd be all right.
It's good. Way better than tossing a bun, I think.
Tossing a bun is still legit. I don't know. I'll throw that up there. I haven't tossed a bun yet, but I want to. Rick, are you familiar with the toss your bun on the Blue Bayou? This is kind of.
Like I'm not. Don't fill me in.
Mark, please.
I think this is. I was under the impression, Chris, that this was a thing everybody knew about. But every time you ask somebody, nobody knows what you're talking about.
Right. I know. So let's educate Rick here on the whole bun.
Do they toss it from the restaurant or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just yell, toss me a bun, and then somebody at the restaurant is supposed to throw you a bun. And I'm sure at that point they're thrown out of the park.
Yeah, and you get a bun. You know, win-win.
Yeah, free bun, yeah.
Free bun. All right, let's get into beer. So, Rick, you enjoyed Disney with your kids. Your kids grew up. They wanted to go off on their own. They didn't want to talk to Dad anymore. They're like, nah, Space Mountain. And you were like, well, I guess I'll have a beer. And then you found these amazing Disney beers. So I see a lot of different beers on your Instagram. So many different beers. What kind of beers are you looking to kind of highlight on your trip? Is it just, I am having this beer that you know in this really cool environment, or are they unique beers? What kind of beer makes like your feed?
I like to sample all the beers down there. I'm an IPA pale ale kind of guy, but I enjoy the lagers and sours and everything, and I like to taste it all. And that's what's nice with the booths, is you can get a taster of everything, kind of, you know, enjoy it as you go around. But I definitely have spots where we go and enjoy beers that we like all the time. Nomad Lounge is on the top of our list. We love hanging out there.
Yeah.
Baseline Tap House, UK Pavilion. I love the UK Pavilion. That's a lot of fun. My wife's a margarita lady, so we always have to stop at Mexican Pavilion.
No doubt.
She loves the margs. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Does she get the festival one, the one that's three flavored? That's the magic one, right?
Yes. Mary, yes. I heard you talk about that on your July show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're listening. Oh, and those, how do you do?
Those Grogu, the Grogu bites are a great idea. Even if they're disgusting, they would sell because everybody would want them.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't. Yes.
They might sell more because they're disgusting.
Exactly. But like, it's disgusting on the show. So why? I mean, people would do it. It would, that's a great idea. I meant to tell you that.
Thanks, Rick. I think the game is how many can you eat? You know, before you're really like, oh, like they're not good. You're right. It's like, yo, how many Grogu pods did you eat? 9. Oh, you know, mind blown. Yeah, like that. Pew, pew.
So, I mean, we love the 50s primetime bar area because she likes the Long Island iced teas there. Mm-hmm. I can get one of my favorite beers there. There's just so many great places to stop and take a break and make the day even a little more fun.
Well, we're going to get into like some of your favorite beers in the Disney parks, but you know what? You just mentioned something interesting. Are there some restaurants that are specifically like, it's not about the beer, but I like having a beer at this place, that maybe there's a couple places that you like make sure you stop by when you're on your Disney trip?
We usually do one stop at the Rose and Crown just because we love the food and the atmosphere. People are great.
For sure.
Hopefully soon we can get the, you know, folks back in there from the other countries. But
yes,
there's a lot of different fun things to try in there. And I have a friend who likes to do the whiskey flight in there. So something for everybody. We always enjoy that. Always go to the Nomad Lounge. We love the Nomad Lounge. They have great appetizers, fun drinks, and fun beers. Mm-hmm. That's a great spot. Baseline Tap House. I love stopping there. They got a great pretzel and the roast beef puff that's really good. So that's always a great place. And the Skipper Canteen now in Magic Kingdom, because you can get beer there now.
Yeah.
And the food's fun. It's a great place. It's fun and it's a great addition.
So it was interesting that you mentioned before, I'm hearing a lot of Epcot. And I felt like when I was a kid, why did my parents like Epcot so much? I think I know why now. It's because of booze, yo. So, like, have you done
that? They like it even more now.
Right? And now I'm like, well, let's go to Epcot. Have you officially drank around the world, like legitimately did beers in every country around the world? Rick?
So I will say to you, we did it as a group. 3 of us did it. We did split some drinks because it's a long ways around the and that was also doing a festival, so we hit a few booths in there too. Right. So I'm counting it. It was pretty good.
Still counting it? Like if it wasn't a sip, like it was like half a beer. Okay. All right. Yep. Well, all right.
I think that more than counts, especially a festival day, because they add like the Food and Wine Festival, they add different countries that aren't represented in a pavilion into there. Right. So
right.
It's like double the drinks.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, you win, Rick. You did it. Okay. It was great. We're making sure you're legit, Rick. And I was like, this guy must have drunk around the world.
Understand. I could probably do it, but I want to be able to walk out of the park. So
okay. So let's talk about it though.
On my own. Yeah.
So Rick, when you did it, did you go left? Did you start with Mexico or did you hang a right?
Yeah, we ended in Mexico because we want to end with a margarita. So if we start with a marg, it might be harder to get around, but it's, I think right to left is the way to go when you're drinking around the world.
Okay. So
I feel like a mimosa in Canada, because it's like
breakfast
time. Mm-hmm. And then you end with party time in Mexico. Yep. Perfect sense to me.
Perfect.
You just shoot tequila when you get to Mexico.
Well, and I'll say they've added the new bar in the Regal Eagle area, barbecue area. So I guess we got to do it again because they've added, you know, more bars.
Right. But no Muppets. Just saying. You know? If a Muppet was giving you that beer, wouldn't that change your experience? You would never miss that Regal Eagle. I'm just telling you. All right. So you've done it. Now, let me ask, when you did it, Rick, did you do beers in every country? Or sounds like there's a mimosa here, a margarita here, was maybe a couple of beers. But your honesty, Adam.
Well, since we were splitting, we took turns picking the drink. So, you know, it made it more fun. You know, it's your turn to pick a drink. Let's do it.
Right.
And then whatever they picked, we kind of shared it and went to the next country. So
did you have to drink any grenades where you're like, anything but that, anything but the frosé, anything but the frosé? I'll get the frosé. Oh, did that ever happen a few times?
Yes, absolutely.
Drinking grenades around the world. All right. Love it. So with that, I mean, you're big on you do a lot of the Florida parks. Do you do the West Coast parks as well?
Yeah, we do get out once in a while. Last time we were there was 2018. We were out there during the summer. So it was great. Enjoyed it. California Adventure is a lot of fun now.
Yeah.
Now I got the Marvel campus is open. So gives me a reason to go back.
Right.
Yeah, lots of Ant-Man beers for you to try.
All right, totally. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So DCA feels like the boozy park, and Disneyland still feels a little old school. It's a lot harder to get your beer on.
Yes. Yeah, that's kind of nice. I enjoy it. I think everybody enjoys it being the OG park, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel those classic vibes. Yeah. But, yeah. So where can you get a beer in Disneyland? I believe, is it just Club 33?
Well, Oga's, they got the canteen, Oga's canteen okay. there.
Yeah.
And they just added some to Blue Bayou as well.
Okay, cool. Because really at Oga's it's space beer. Does it even count? Like, I don't know.
Counts more. But you're off world, so.
Right, got it.
What's convenient there too is you can slip out of the park to Downtown Disney and then go back in. So it's really easy.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's true. So with that said, you've done East Coast, West Coast, you're drinking a lot of beers. What is the best park for beers in your view? Maybe give me your top three.
Top three parks?
Yeah, for straight up beers. Like, I'm not talking about drinks. I'm talking about beer. Like, you want to get the best beers, this park is your best one. Number two would be this.
That's actually gotten more competitive. I'm going to say, I would throw Epcot in there just for sheer choice and volume, obviously.
Sure. Number one.
But Hollywood Studios now with Baseline Tap House and Oga's and 50s Primetime, now Brown Derby has a little bar outside. There's great stuff at Hollywood Studios. But Animal Kingdom, okay, let's go Epcot, Animal Kingdom right now, and then Hollywood Studios, because I love the bars at Animal Kingdom, the Dabble Bar, the Thirsty River Bar. There's even a little lounge in the Restaurantosaurus area now. I don't know if everybody's ever seen that, but they have a little lounge in there now, and it's really cool because you can go in there, and it's usually light, and bartenders talk it up with you and give you a lot of inside info, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And I just find the Animal Kingdom stuff to be really laid back and relaxing and cool. So I go Epcot, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, but it's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. No, wow. I'm glad that it was tough. I remember going with my dad, because I don't go to the parks with my dad very often. I was kind of excited. And I was thinking, oh my God, I'm going to Disney with my dad. And I'm thinking, we're going to go on rides. We're going to do this. No, my dad found a bar. We were in Harambe Market. He found a spot right at the bar and he just held court there. And he's like, come on over, son. He was there for hours. And then I would keep coming back. And then I ended up being there for hours and I got loaded with my dad at the Harambe Market. And I was like, Dad, we're going to do Flight of Passage. He was like, no, son, we're going to do the round. You know, and the bartender knows his name now. He's buying shots for people. I'm like, Dad, what are you doing? So I could see how you could get sucked into the good time and like the environment and your people watching and there's like music and atmosphere happening. And you keep mentioning Nomads because I've never had a drink at Nomads, but I keep hearing how great it is. I've heard it from a few people that that's an awesome spot for a drink.
It's an awesome spot. They have very creative drinks, mixed drinks that they've made for the bar. Then they have some beers that a couple of them you can only get there, which is really cool. They'll do a flight for you. And we always like to sit. They have an outside area too, which is really nice. You sit right by the river. Right now the characters are going by and stuff, so it's really fun. And you get to sit there and you look right at the bridge going into Avatar and you watch everybody running back and forth. You just kind of relax.
Right on. And so when you're going for a drink, what are you looking for specifically? Are you looking for an experience or are you looking for taste? Like when you sit down to a menu and maybe it's something you haven't had or like and there's a new spot. How do you pick your poison there, Rick?
Well, atmosphere is important, but I always need a good beer. If I get a beer, I keep a drink in there, a beer I can't find, it's not going to be much fun. Place may be fun, but I'd go taste first.
Yeah.
I need a beer I like.
So will you get something that you know, or will you get a reco? Will you be like, hey, what do you like here? Like what's.
I always try something new. Every town I go into, every area we go to, we always find the local brews because we always want to try it.
So when you went to Universal and you had a butter beer, were you disappointed? You were like, this is a beer.
It was an experience. It was decent. I mean, it was part of the whole thing. So it's not really my kind of beer, but. Yeah, I enjoyed the experience.
It's my kind of beer, to be honest. You know?
Sugar beer.
Sugar beer.
That's going to be your new nickname, Chris. Sugar beer.
Sugar beer? Sugar beard? I don't know. We'll get there. We'll figure
sugar
it out.
Sugar beer? Sugar beer.
I don't know. It's again, we're workshopping it.
It's been cool to be a part of this community and just connect with people like you and all the other folks, but it's amazing. I mean, it's such a strong community. It's crazy. Oh, and I was just looking for a place to, post some fun pictures that I had. I had all these pictures. I'm like, oh, I'll just start this and see what happens. But the people you meet and connect with, it's really fun. They'll know the best thing is they'll, you know, we get to do meetups in the parks and meet them in, for real and have a beer with them, which is really cool.
That's cool.
That's cool.
I like that. Have you met the hot dog guy? The hot dogs at Disney guy? I feel like you guys should be friends, like hot dog, beer.
Hot dog and beer, yeah.
I know. We're going to meet up for sure.
Yeah,
we definitely have to meet up.
James, he's a nice dude. Yeah, hook up with him. You guys should have like a co-pick. You need a collab, you two. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay, so we've talked about all the different kind of beers that you're looking for, some of your adventures. Where was the coolest place you could say you had a beer in the park? Like maybe a place you didn't think you would find a good beer. And then it was like, this place is awesome. And this beer blew my mind.
I would say, because one of my top five beers is here is the Thirsty River Bar over by Everest. I'd kind of walked past it a few times and not really paid attention to it.
Sure.
But we went in there, we stopped and had a few beers and they have some really good stuff on tap there. So now I spend more time there. And that was just kind of a surprise because it was kind of a stand, you know what I mean? And I, you know, was looking for the lounges and that kind of thing. But it's a fun place. They have frozen drinks and mixed drinks and, you know, it's a couple of snacks. So yeah, Thirsty River Bar. It's fun to hit that before and after Everest. It's a good time.
As a beer dude, like exclusively beer dude, because I mean, if you've seen your Instagram, I mean, it is beer here, beer there, beer. Disney Springs. Where's the best spot at Disney Springs to grab a beer?
I like the Polite Pig because I like the barbecue and they have some good beers there.
Yum.
But a Ragon Road Tavern is just the most fun. I mean, you have such a great time there. So I got to go to the tavern. It's so much fun.
Yeah. But that's
the entertainment.
But that's not the best beer per se, but that's just the best beer experience, right?
Yeah. I'll give you that one. Okay. Yeah.
You know,
Polite Pig probably has some beers more along my lines, but a good black and tan at the tavern's really good. Plus, I got an Irish buddy who lives just around the corner from Disney, and he's always dragging me there. So if you're drinking with an Irish, if you're drinking with an Irishman, you're having a good time. It's awesome.
You know it. All right. Well, guys, I think it's time that we kind of test Rick out. You know, he's talking a big game. Oh, I've had all these, but I've been to this restaurant. I want to know, because I don't know if you guys are like me. I'll have a moment at Disney where something will happen or I'll be somewhere and I'm like, I need a beer. Okay. So I thought would be a good time would at a drop of a hat, we're going to name a spot in the Disney parks and Rick has to tell us the closest beer to our spot. Rick, are you up for the challenge, my friend?
I'm up for it. So it's the place I would choose, right?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Like, tell me where to go. But you know, I would think it would be close, but if you're like, no, you don't want to go that spot. You want to just go another.
Sometimes it's worth an extra few steps. Right?
Two more steps is where the spot you want to go is that spot. Why don't I kick things off? All right. I just got off the Haunted Mansion. I saw a ghost. I need a beer. Where am I going?
Easy choice because it's right there. You can run over to Liberty Tree Tavern. They have beer there now. If you need it in an emergency, you can go there and get some nice comfort food, mashed potatoes, turkey, and all that, and you're good to go. After you get settled down, I would go over to Skipper's Canteen because that's got some really tasty beers, IPAs, and pale ales that I love. But for the emergency run, Liberty Tree Tavern right across the street.
Well, that's number one. All right, Liberty Tavern. It's right there. Good call, Rick. Ooh, that was close. I was scared. I saw a ghost. Mark, how about you, buddy?
Okay, my favorite place to relax, and I would love to take a beer here. So where would I grab a beer if I wanted to watch the Carousel of Progress with a frosty cold one?
Mm. Ooh. Oh, you got your trick. I think you're trying to trick me here because you can't carry the beer around Magic Kingdom. So
yes, but I mean, like, but pretend I'm like I'm covert. I'm breaking some rules. Yeah. I got a trench coat.
Trench coat. Okay,
it's got a little pocket on the inside that's beer proof.
Yeah,
gotcha. All right, we need to market those so we can all enjoy them. But I'm gonna go there. I would go over to the Beauty and the Beast. Restaurant because you can get a nice French beer there. They're full bodied, very tasty. Casually sip it. So Carousel Progress, you know, I'd like that. That sounds good to me. It's a good pairing.
Nice. Thank you.
All right. Good answer, Rick. Let's keep the party going. Miriam, do you have a sneaky spot for a beer for Rick?
Yes. So I love Tower of Terror, but sometimes it's just too much terror. So I've just ridden that. I'm very scared. I need to chill out. Where's the best place to get a beer after that?
Well, right after that, I think you're going to go basic American stuff here. They have the Bud Light stand right outside there. The records, I forget the name of it. It's got a little record on it. I feel like you're going to need something right away. And you're kind of lightheaded, so you don't want to go too heavy, right? So just go over there and get yourself a nice light beer, calm your nerves. Maybe get back on the ride again. I think that's the way to go there.
Perfect. Yeah,
this sounds like an emergency. You need the closest beer.
Right. She's a little bit disoriented. You don't want to give her anything too heavy, right?
So exactly. Nice, I like that plan.
Hey, hey, Rick, I got a problem. My kid, you have kids, you remember these days, made me stand in the line for Dumbo for 2 hours. For Dumbo. I need a beer. Help me out, man.
If you stood in line for Dumbo for 2 hours, I'm going to put you right on the monorail and send you over to the Polynesian because you need some tiki room Sam Traders in time. And it's right around the corner. You're going to need it after 2 hours of waiting in line for Dumbo. So you're going to go to Trader Sam's. You're going to enjoy yourself a nice drink there.
All right. Trader. I mean, I'm just leaving the park. Sorry, kid. Your park day's over. We're going to Trader Sam's.
2 hours. 2 hours for Dumbo. You know,
that's a trade-off.
It can give you an hour at Trader Sam's.
All right. Sure. Well, Mark, going back to you, pal.
Okay, so I'm a little bit infamous amongst my friends. They give me a hard time because I always seem to find the worst time at the movies to crack a beer. And I'm not doing it on purpose. I promise. I, you know, we sneak a couple in our knapsacks or in our jacket pockets. And then for some reason, I always hit it at a quiet moment. So what I'm saying is I like watching movies and drinking beer. So if I was to sneak a beer into Muppets 3D, where would I get that beer from?
Muppets 3D. Now, unfortunately, there used to be an awesome little bar right across from the stunt show, like the Mermaid Fountain. There used to be a great little bar there. You could get some really tasty drinks, and that would get you, you know, you could sneak over to Muppets there, but that's gone now. So if you're going Muppets, I'm going to tell you that Baseline Tap House is across the street. So, and I love Baseline. So you can get the big 22 ouncer there. You're good to go.
22 ounces for that short movie.
And maybe served to you by a Muppet.
Baseline's right there. You got plenty of great choices. And, you know, you can just walk right over to Muppets.
Baseline it is. Miriam.
Okay, so I love Animal Kingdom, but it does get a bit toasty in there. So say I just got off the safari and it's so hot and I'm dying and I need a beer right then. Where am I going?
It's perfect. You're going to go walk right out the exit, right over to the Dawa bar, which I think is where he and his dad got drunk together. But it's right on the corner before you walk back over to the Festival of the Lion King. Dawa bar is great atmosphere. The bartenders are fun. It's great seating. Plus then the outdoor music there, the stage there, they have at Africa's right there. So you can wind down with some music and it's a great time. Dawa bar.
Perfect. Yeah.
I can vouch for that experience. It was a slow day, guys. I didn't get on many rides. Okay. I'm about to go driving on Test Track and I want to be a bit tipsy. Where am I going?
Oh, Rick? No.
I'm
going
to drink and drive on Test Track.
Oh, no. This is a
family show.
What? It is a family show. I can drive with no hands. It's beautiful. Oh, that's a beautiful thing.
I don't know about this.
Fastest ride in the park. Yeah, I need a beer before I go on. Where am I going?
Gosh.
Got to loosen up.
Well, I'm going to, since you like, I'm going to give you a pat. Well, let's go. We'll go right to Mexico because you can sneak around a quarter of Mexico and get a nice, I love a Dos Equis with a lime. It's very tasty. It's very light. I usually get it when some people around me are drinking a lot of Marge. So you can slip right in and out of Mexico there, right around the corner. I love it.
Okay.
And I think that's, you know, a good beer for a Test Track.
Yeah, it's not too heavy. And it makes me the most interesting man at Test Track, right? So, yeah.
Exactly.
Dos Equis in Mexico. Ole, I'm in.
Okay. So, I might make some enemies by saying this, but probably not too many. The Seas with Nemo and Friends is, if I had to sum that ride up in one word, I'd say aggressively boring. Aggressively boring. So I would like to spice it up with a beer.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneak a beer. I'm all three of mine are where I'm sneaking beers.
Love it.
So really a window into my personality.
We were all like, I just got off this ride. You're like, I'm getting on this ride.
I'm getting on this ride. Where would you recommend I get a beer to sneak on this thing?
I would say go to Canada because there's some nice light beers there. And there's also a couple with a lot of good fruit in them. I don't know what kind of beers you like, but I think Canada would give you a good choice. And it's close. It's close. It's kind of, you know, you just take that side path over. Mm-hmm. Everything in Future World is just kind of your standard fare. So I want to get you to Canada, get a nice flavored beer. Because when you start seeing the bubbles and everything, you're going to need some activity going on in your brain.
All right. I like it. I like the pitch. That's good news. Well, Rick, are you good to stick around and we can find out what your favorite beers in the parks are?
Absolutely.
Oh, baby. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back with more. We Like Theme Parks, the beer edition, right after this quick one. Here we go.
My favorite things. Hey.
Okay, we're with Rick Buchanan. He's WDW Beer Guy, the official beer guy of Instagram Disney Parks. We're not worthy. We're so thrilled to have him. And Rick has been regaling us with beer info, favorite spots. And now he just basically saved us from many emergencies, telling us where to go to get that drink. Rick, when we first talked about hooking up, I asked you, I was like, I really want to know the top five Disney brews. It can be any park. What are those five brews? All right, well, let's get it going. Let's start with the number five beer, Rick. Everyone's dying to know. Everyone listening is like, they're thirsty. They want to know.
Well, I'm going to send them on a little hunt for this one because you can only get it at one stand in Avatar and Pandora. Ooh. And you can't get it in the restaurant. It's a little stand that's near the drum area, the drum circle. Mm-hmm. There's a beverage stand there that has two taps, and this one beer you can only get there. So it's one place in all of Disney World. Wow. It's called an Avatar Jasmine IPA.
Okay.
And it's made by the Elysium Brewing Company in Seattle. It's brewed with dried jasmine flowers. So it's smooth, little creamy, has the floral flavor, but a little bite at the end. It's not harsh, but it's got a lot of flavors going on. Really good. It's the perfect kind of exotic beer, I think, for Pandora. And, you know, it's special because you can just get it at the one stand. So it's kind of cool.
Fact that it's floral, it makes it weird enough to be in Pandora. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's got flowers in it. Drink it. Yeah.
That's just a hint. Just a hint. It's just enough.
Right. Like, let's talk like my favorite drink in all the parks. Okay. Night Blossom, especially Rum Blossom. Mm. What is up? And they put those weird balls in it. Right. So they make it weird to be like alien drink. Beep, boop. Right. Wait, right, that was a robot. What am I talking about? Anyway, you feel me, right? Like,
it's a robot alien. That's
fine. Thank you. Oh, thanks, Mark.
I do. And that's why I picked the beer. Cause it's special to that area. And it's just, there's one tap in the whole property.
And
so
what was it called?
Again? It's called an Avatar Jasmine IPA.
Ooh. Is it a funky color? Is it like green or something or blue?
No. They have the green kind of grog over where you got the Night Blossom. But no, this is just kind of looks like a smooth beer, a little goldish tannish.
Yeah,
nothing special. Yeah. You wouldn't think anything of it to see it,
right?
But it has a lot going on flavor wise.
That's great. I love that it's so exclusive. One spot. Mm-hmm. In Alien Town. Mm-hmm. I dig that. All right. That's number five. Let's cruise on over to number four.
So number four I picked because, you can only get it in Galaxy's Edge, which makes it kind of neat. But also as a kid, you know, when I saw Star Wars, you know, blew my mind. I was a young guy then. So it was really cool. And I always wanted to fly the Gold Wing, and this beer is called the Gold Squadron Lager.
Yeah.
And you can only get it in the Star Wars area, which is really cool. It's brewed by the Blue Point Brewery in Long Island. It's really good. It's a pale lager with hints of, and it has lavender and plum in it. Makes it a little kind of sour.
Okay.
But it's, the kicker is it's $14 a glass. But, you know, when you're paying $8 for a water bottle there, what's enough? You know, $14 for a beer is no problem, right?
Space water. So, $8. Yeah.
Can you only get that in Oga's or is it out?
You can get it at Oga's. You can get it at the docking bay. And there's also a little stand on your way to Oga's that just sells Volkswagen Lager. Right after you pass the first order area, there's a little stand, at least in Florida there is, and they'll sell it there. So you can get it three spots, and it goes great with a Ronto wrap. It's perfect with a Ronto wrap.
Well, hold on. That's delightful. Hold on. $14 beer. Mm-hmm. How much is a Ronto wrap? Like $11?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Stuff just got pricey, yo. I'm just saying. I'm just having
but just now.
You're already there.
You're just enjoying yourself.
Rick said there's a plum in it, so it's kind of like I'm eating something, right? So okay,
that's right. and you're on bat too, so you know it's a few credits.
Space good beer. Experience. I love it.
I don't think there's a plum in it though. This isn't like that Yoko Ono Simpsons beer in a hat with a floating plum.
Well, you know, just like hints of plum.
Okay, you know, people say, "Oh, you drink Guinness; it's like eating a loaf of bread." I thought, like, wow, you drink this Rogue Squadron action and it tastes like a plum. Like I'm eating a plum.
There's notes of plum.
All right, it's just a note. No. Okay, well, all right.
Yeah, a hint, of a plum. If you take it was hint, near a plum when it was brewed.
If you take the hint, the whisper, and the note, and you stick them all together, maybe you got a plum, like a full, a full plum. Right. Yum.
You keep dreaming.
But it's a cool beer because if you like a pale ale, you'll like it. If you like a sour, you'll like it. It's kind of in between, you know. Very so cool. It's really neat.
Right on.
Yeah.
Very nice. Cool. These are two unique brews. Yeah. Okay, let's go to number three.
Number three is the Stone Delicious IPA. Mm-hmm. It's a West Coast IPA. It's made by the Stone Brewing Company in San Diego. You can only get it at the Baseline Tap House because of the West Coast theme there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little citrusy and bitter, but well blended. Mm-hmm. It's a full body beer, but it's perfect for that pretzel at Baseline Tap House. Oh, nice. And it is perfect to sip on while you're listening to that awesome cover soundtrack. I don't know if you guys have listened to the soundtrack there.
No.
But they just... It's easy listening cover songs. Have you guys, anybody heard?
I never noticed.
Oh,
when you go there, you're going to want to, you have to like guess the tunes because it's like a jazzy, it's like a jazzy version of a U2 song. So we always play like guess the song, like, okay, wait, I'm going to get this. You know, it's like a punk version of Hall & Oates. It's really cool. So the soundtrack makes the beer. You got a West Coast soundtrack, kind of easy vibe. Wow. You got a, you know, West Coast IPA and a nice pretzel there, and you're good to go. Baseline's an awesome addition to Hollywood Studios. I do miss the old writer's shop. We had some fun times in there that they replaced it with, but hey, if they had to replace it with anything, Baseline's it.
Okay. Well, we're getting over the big dogs. Number two, the number two Disney beer. Yeah, what is it, Rick?
Right on. Number two. So the next two are brewed in Florida, which is appropriate, right? Yeah. So this one you can get a couple places, but mostly in Animal Kingdom. It's and the name is appropriate. It's the Old Elephant Foot IPA. It's brewed by the Tampa Bay Brewing Company.
Yeah,
and it's a hoppy golden color with a medium body. It's really a pleasant beer. You can get it at the Thirsty River Bar there before Everest.
Yeah.
Also at over at the Dinoland restaurant, they have a lounge in there now, so you can get it in there. And as a bonus, you can get, we talked about this, you can get it at Magic Kingdom at the Skipper's Canteen. So if I can get a really good beer in Magic Kingdom, I got to put it on the list. So it's really good.
It's awesome. I like the name of it.
Yeah. Awesome name, right? Old Elephant Foot. It's perfect.
I also love how you actually ate or had a drink in Dinoland. Like who stops to eat there?
Well, they just opened this lounge a couple of years ago. We kind of stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
It's just, they took a little section of the restaurant and made a lounge and you like enter through a tent. It's three tables and a bar and it's hilarious. It's awesome though. Cause nobody goes in there. You can go in there and just.
Cause you're in Dinoland. Secret. So it's probably the best secret. We're blowing the secret wide open now, but. Yeah.
And non-beer, they have a couple of secret pass holder drinks. If you're a pass holder, you can get a couple of secret drinks there, which is cool. So
really cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is it themed like you're on an archaeology hunt and you're like, you're going into the
tent? Yeah, they've got stuff around it like they do in the restaurant. Cool. The restaurant has like more of the cheesy theme to it, like the, you know, but this one has just a few artifacts in it. So it's kind of neat.
Very cool. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hey, We're counting them down. This is the big moment.
Yes.
This is why Ricky's here. So we want to know the number one beer in all of Disney. Rick, Rick, you got it.
Number one. And this beer is magical. It's the Hialeah IPA. Do you remember the old the sport they played in Florida with the big cylinders and the, they would flip the balls out of it?
Listen, you're what talking to Hialeah. You're talking to a Tron fan. I know what Hialeah is. All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go. There you go. So it's called it's the Hialeah IPA, and it's brewed by the Cigar City Brewing Company in Tampa because Hialeah used to be a big thing in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
They named it the IPA. It is so well blended. It's smooth, smoky. It has a little bite to it. It's great with food. You can get a draft at the Regal Eagle bar there in Epcot. So it goes good with barbecue because it goes good with spicy food.
Oh, yeah.
It's now the great thing about this is you can get it at a lot of places, which is great.
Oh, wow.
Like the last time I was there, where you can get it at the Petals Bar, Pop Century, the Bull Bar. I mean, they have it there. 50s wow. Prime Time. They have it a lot of places. So this one is out there. You don't need to go searching for it. It's really good. It's the best. The first time I had it was in Florida, and I couldn't find it anywhere else. It's moved up the East Coast. When I'm come home to Maryland now, I can get it in Maryland now. So I'm a happy guy.
Oh, wow.
But, yep. And I've got one right here.
Yeah.
Cigar City.
Nice. Yep.
So...
Yes.
Nice.
That
well, why
for the number one beer?
We should have started with this.
I love it. It's a pretty can.
This is nice. Beautiful.
Yeah, yep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to see though. There is the Hialeah player there.
Oh yeah.
So they've got the art on the can. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
This one's great. It's just a great blend. I think if you like lager, you would dig it. A lot of people don't like IPAs because they're too bitey. This one just has a little bite, a lot, little smokiness, and full body. It's yum. Great with food. It's great. It's just a great beer. It's fantastic.
I can't believe the number one beer in Disney is one that's all over the place in Disney and that you can get like a block away from your house. That's crazy.
I know.
That's amazing. Awesome. That's so cool.
And that it has a Tron connection.
It does have a Tron connection.
Your excitement.
See, I learned something today. I learned something.
It's just me. It's just me. But did you guys know Hialeah? Miriam, Mark? Mark, you knew.
I mean, when he showed us the can, I can see the thing on his hand, like...
Yeah,
looking like a Tron mitt.
I feel like if you've ever watched Miami Vice, it was like in the opening, like montage-y opening. It was like a like just a second of a dude playing Hialeah. Like that's very Miami, right?
I think wasn't Scarface? Weren't they investing in Hialeah? Was it Scarface?
I don't remember.
I think in Scarface they invest in a Hialeah thing. So I think it's in Scarface too.
Wow. But yeah, I don't remember that. But cool. Why not Scarface? The world is yours. Get some Hialeah, right? Well, well, that's the Rick. These were awesome. Five amazing beers. You can find them in and around the Disney parks or at your liquor store, your beer store, right around the corner from you if you live in Maryland or up along the East Coast. So do check out Hialeah, right?
As an honorable mention, there is a Bad Motivator IPA in Ogus. It's really, really good. And Bad Motivator's from the New Hope movie when you know, he was trying to buy the first R2 unit. And he said, this one's got a Bad Motivator. Yeah, so they have a Bad Motivator IPA, which is a really cool name.
Yeah,
that's an honorable mention. Yeah.
Have you tried all the beers in Ogus or just a couple? All of them.
Yep.
Is there a favorite one in there that you like?
I like
besides the gold one.
Yeah, I love the Gold Squadron, but the Bad Motivator's
is like your second favorite.
Yeah.
Really?
So it's a hoppy, really kind of bitter IPA. I dig that. So I really enjoy that.
Cool. Awesome. Rick, have you, because I feel like you go to all these places, you try all the beers, you're the beer guy. So have you has this kind of become the norm experience? Like you walk into Baseline and they're like, Rick, you know, so you want to go, you know what I mean? Like they know it's hey, Rick's here. Rick, we got a new beer. You haven't had this one. Rick, Rick, the usual, and they like slide it down the bar and you catch it. Is it like that kind of experience yet? Or
well, I wish I had reached that level of, celebrity, but there's a couple bartenders that we've gotten to know in a couple like the hotels or in that restaurant, Soros Lounge, but I'm working on it. I'm going to get there. I'm going to walk into all the places and say, there he is. I know what he wants.
That's right.
We're here.
Or if they have the new thing, they're like, they want to know your like opinion. They're like, Rick's here. Oh my God. Okay, bring it out. Oh my goodness. We're so nervous. Yeah. This is called,
there's a whole plum.
This is called Bald Eagle Screamy Foot. Try it. It's new. And it has like a That's foot right. in it. You're like, you know, if you've ever seen Ratatouille, you're like the review food reviewer for Ratatouille. Like, I'm here. That'd be great.
Oh yeah. Except not stuffy. Just, hey, we're here for a good time. Yeah.
Love that. Well, Rick, what a pleasure to have you on to talk about Disney beers. It's been such a fun time. Any last-minute tips for any Disney beer drinkers out there?
I would say that look around, because Disney will surprise you. Just like that Avatar beer that's one tap in Pandora.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're just walking through a theme park and you're just going to find the standard beers. But if you go looking, you're going to find some really good choices, whether they're IPAs, lagers, or sours, or whatever. So take the time to, you know, everybody's running to the next thing, but if you really take the time to find some beer you're going to like, you're going to find some fun stuff and it becomes part of the experience. So slow down and have a beer.
Some sage words from a beer master and when it comes to the Disney parks. And I got to ask one last question, Rick. Got to ask it. Have you been to Club 33? Sure. Have you done Club 33 yet?
I have not.
So there might be a mystery beer in there that is the elusive one. Maybe, see? Perhaps Rogue Squadron Lager. Just saying, could be
there. You go.
You never know.
It's a great name.
You know, we do what we do over here. all right, friends. Well, hey, thanks so much for tuning in today. If you had a good time, please rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff. If you have a segment idea, just hit us up. What's up at welikethemeparks.com. You can always find us goofing around on the Insta at welikethemeparks. And finally, you can find us on the Magic of the Mouse Radio every Monday, Wednesday, Fridays at 5, noon on Sundays. The Music for We Like Theme Parks podcast. Hey, that's that dude, Mike Troublecock. Hit him up at
MikeTroublecockMusic.com.
Yeah, a big, big thank you to Rick Buchanan, the WDW_beer_guy. I think I just did it for you. Rick, where can we find you? Where can we hear about your tales of beardom in the Disney parks?
Exactly where you said, except today I took out the underscores because I was told I shouldn't have the underscores. So now it's just WW Beer Guy.
Perfect. All right. Well, Rick, hey, thanks so much for being here, man. We really appreciate
it. Thank you. I had a great time.
Amazing.
So much fun.
Yeah, that was a blast. Sorry we like threw you some curveballs. Where do you get a beer here? What do you know? All right, friends. Well, hey, for Rick, for Miriam and Mark, I'm Chris. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And
We like theme parks.
Now let's get some beers. Yeah.
We like theme parks.
The We Like Theme Parks podcast.